Well, dreams. For as long as I can remember, my dreams have been as vivid and lifelike as one can possibly imagine. It wasn't until college that I learned the truth. Most people's dreams are about as exciting as a black and white movie. No color, no smells, no taste. I mean, how sad. How boring. How not like me. Well, you know, some of my dreams have even grown up with me. When I was in grade school and worried about all the things that grade school kids worry about and thought that my life was going to end because, you know, somebody didn't speak to me or whatever, I remember dreaming that I was riding my bicycle as fast as I could down this really steep mountain path and got halfway down and realized I didn't have any brakes. When I became an adult, I traded the bicycle in for a car. And the mountain path has become this really narrow, crooked street with cars parked on both sides, and I'm driving backwards and discover I have no brakes. That's a scary one. And when I have it, I know it's time to take stock of my life and figure out what's out of control. Now, have any of you ever dreamed that you could fly? Oh, I love my flying dream. Yeah, when I was young, it always started in this big, beautiful field. And there were clumps of flowers everywhere, really sweet-smelling flowers that were vivid in color. And my mother never let us step on flowers. And so I was going through the field, and every time I came to a patch of flowers, I'd jump over them. But then there got to be more and more and more flowers. And so I'd have to run faster and faster and faster and take these leaps over these flowers. And pretty soon I was going so fast, and there were so many flowers, I would jump up and discover I could fly. And suddenly I was flying over this beautiful, beautiful field full of flowers and down over cliffs, and I never wanted to wake up. Now that I'm older, I seldom find myself in that field. I'm normally in a church, go figure. And I'm normally standing in a pulpit, and something bizarre happens, like a child starts to fall from a balcony, or I never have figured this one out. There's a balloon caught clear up in the corner of a steep pillar. And so I see the child or I see the balloon, and it's really important to get it down, and so I take this leap out of the pulpit and I begin to fly. And if it's a child that I'm trying to catch, I catch it, and I swoop down, and I return it safely to its parents, and I continue to fly and dip, and it is the most freeing experience just to be flying all around. And then I begin to look for an open door or a window, because I think, wouldn't it be wonderful to fly home? And I ask the people to please open up a door for me. And they're standing there and they say, no, no, we won't do it. And I said, just open up the door, I'll fly through it. And they say, no, get down, because people can't fly. Now today is Ascension Sunday. And I doubt that any of you have a special meal planned or a family get-together to celebrate it. Does anybody here have? Oh, no. I didn't figure so. You see, that's really understandable, because in our postmodern Christian way, we understand that the ascension is impossible. I mean, if Jesus went up in that cloud at the speed of light, 2,000 years, he may have made it to Mars by now. We know that the complexities of our solar system, and we know how immense it is. And we know, don't we? People don't fly, especially at the speed of light. So let's face it, the ascension story is one that just doesn't make sense to us. So like the early disciples, we tend just to ignore it all. We even ignore Jesus' warnings that we have to let him go. We have to set him free. You know, the original believers, they heard him say that. And yet they also knew that he had risen from the dead and he rejoined them and he walked around with them and he continued to teach them. And then he starts in about having to leave and they're going, no, 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 you have it wrong. He already left us once. But Jesus says, you can't hold on to me. I have to go. We haven't ever experienced the physical presence of Jesus, but we really like the idea of God with us. It's God with them that we're not sure of. It's okay for Jesus to live in our hearts. Just don't ask us to setting free so he can live in the hearts of those that we don't like or understand. Those who have caused us grief and pain. And yet Jesus says, you got to let go of me. We have to let him go. Now, when the time came for the disciples to watch him physically leave, the scriptures tell us that in Acts that they stood up on the hill and they watched as Jesus ascended and they just stood there looking until finally two men clothed in white came to them and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards the heavens? Now, on the one hand, that's a silly question, isn't it? I mean, come on. If you'd just seen somebody rise above the earth in a cloud, wouldn't you stand there for a while wondering what on earth had just occurred? Am I the only one to think so silly thoughts? I mean, don't you think that the disciples were filled with questions? Why were they staying around? Well, would it change anything? Would it bring him back? Or did they stand there on top of that hill because they wanted to postpone facing a future without him? They couldn't bear the thought. They didn't know what to do. And so the men asked, why are you just standing there? The disciples had to answer that question for themselves. And in doing so, they decided that they would become the body of Christ on this earth. He had, after all, told them that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that came to him at his baptism, the same power that allowed him to do all the wonderful things that he did. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait until you receive the Spirit. And when the Spirit came upon them, they knew he was not coming back. And yet they knew what they were supposed to do. Take the word to the end of the earth. They left the mountain. They waited in Jerusalem. They accepted the task. And in doing so, they let him go. They freed him to do what he needed to do as the Spirit of the Lord. Now, it's been almost 2,000 years since the disciples walked in this world, armed with nothing but the Spirit and their faith. And some people are actually saying that for all practical purposes, the church is now dead. That we have no legitimate purpose in society. And sometimes that's the way we act, isn't it? So here's my question. Are we going to believe the world? Or are we going to believe Christ Jesus? And if we're going to believe Christ, then isn't it time that we set the Spirit free? Free to lead us to where we need to go. Free to say whatever it is we need to say and to do whatever we need to do. After all, if the church fails to be his body, then how can we expect to find his presence in the world? Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the heavens? This Jesus, whom you seek, is not here. Setting free. Setting free. To God be the glory. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.